I wish that I could connect things the way that John does. He connects his wife to the cough drops. He connects his wife to the bathroom. Wow. We're happy to have you that are visiting with us. We've got a young preacher with us that's going to be preaching in where? Louisville, Kentucky. So he's out here, and hope you enjoy the services today. And he's very lucky he's going to marry into the Giles family. And that is lucky. I want to talk to you about understanding faith today. I've thought about faith quite a bit. And I've met people that had little faith. I've met people that had other people's faith, but they didn't have their own. I've met people that got all excited about faith and then lost it. So I want to talk about what understanding faith, what it really is, and I'm going to give you a very simple lesson today, but it's a very important lesson. A lesson that I want you to really think about. So first of all, I want to give you a definition of faith. And I believe it is right here in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, and we're talking about those in the Old Testament, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Usually when people start out and give a definition of faith, they start in Hebrews 11, 1. But I believe that this is really what the definition of faith is. Faith. That's a big word with a lot of meaning. If you notice what they did in the passage that was read, they had the ability to see into something that they could not see, and yet they knew that they were following what God said. They had total confidence in God and the ability to see the invisible. And when you think about that, that really is not as hard as you might think, because we do that every day, and we're going to see that as we go along. But the ability to see what God has promised and really put that into your mind and recognize that this is going to come, this is going to happen. In fact, the Bible says that even Abraham had the gospel preached to him, in that he recognized that he was going to be a blessing. His seed would be a blessing upon everybody. And then they were persuaded by the truth. And every time I think about this persuasion of truth, I go back to whenever I obeyed the gospel the first time. I was happy in a denomination, and I was preaching in a denomination, and then I met a man by the name of Bill Shamblin. And Bill Shamblin, the first time I met him, I thought that was the dumbest preacher I'd ever met. And then he got smarter the next week, and smarter the next week, and smarter the next week, until finally I was persuaded by the truth that he presented. And I decided right then, I don't want to study with him anymore. And so I continued in the denomination, having chicken every Sunday. I continued being called pastor. I continued, and it was wonderful. But it kept eating at me. It kept eating at me. It kept eating at me. And if somebody really asked me, what do you believe, I would have had to say, you know what? I've been persuaded that there's only one church. I've been persuaded that there is, you must be baptized for the remission of sins. I've been persuaded with all that. What are you going to do about it? Well, at the time, nothing. I just put it aside. And then I decided to embrace it. And when I say embrace, you know what it means to embrace. You know what? I see my wife and I embrace her. I welcome her, and she's my life. And that's what I'm doing with my faith, as I am embracing what I've been persuaded by. My mind has been all turned completely different than it was, and I am embracing that wonderful thing called faith. And decided that I'm going to walk by that. So I want to give a description of faith now. And it's very simple. We start in Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now usually when you think of substance, it's something like this. But I want you to think about this substance. Faith is the very foundation for every Christian. Now, there are many people in the church that are not Christians. But faith is the very foundation upon which a Christian stands. If you don't have faith, you're not a Christian. These are simple things that I'm saying. So when I'm talking about embracing, it means that I'm walking by the commandments of God. And this foundation that I stand upon is just as solid as can be. True faith always has evidence. There are some people that do not need any evidence. All they need is a preacher telling them that this is what they're to do, and they say, okay, everybody else is doing it, and I'm going to do it. But true faith takes a lot of evidence. This starts way back, and I'm sure that many people that are in the denominational world have worked up to come to where they have a measure of faith. And then faith is based in spiritual reality. In other words, there's something spiritual out here. We have a spiritual God that is contacting my spiritual inside. And so spiritually, I am connected to God. And I can see things that other people can't say. See, I remember debating a fellow in Ogden, Utah. And as we were debating, I was talking about reaching the blood of Christ in baptism. And he went up and drew the curtain back, and he said, I don't see any blood in there. And I said, well, you have to have faith before you can see it, and then you can see it very plainly. Even the physical is to be interpreted spiritually. If everything doesn't go back to God, you have misunderstood what is all around you. Have you ever seen the resurrection? That little caterpillar crawling along, and then it dies for all purposes and then turns into a beautiful butterfly. God is giving a message. The deciduous trees that have leaves in the summer, he's telling you a real change can be made. So we start out with the natural things around us, and we discover that there must be a creator or creators or a create-us. Is that a word? I made it up, but you knew what I was talking about. It all comes from God. And this is the first place that we get it, and then we find in the scriptures, and we get evidence, 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 and evidence. And so even from this world, we start interpreting from a spiritual standpoint. It just reaches something deep inside of you. As I said last week, I would hate to see that beautiful sunset and not be able to thank anyone for it. Without faith in God, life is not life. I want you to think about that little statement. Without faith in God, life is not life. Do you think people around you that are all in this woke society are happy? You can see that they are. They're all smiling and they're happy. No. In Hebrews 11:6, he says this is where it starts. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, I'm going to get something out of it if I truly seek God. And what I'm going to get is life. I'm going to get life here better, and I'm going to get life eternally. But I can see God. I can see God, and we're going to see God, of course, when we see Jesus. But if we really see him, we finally have understood. You can imagine what Thomas felt that day when he said, Lord, show us the Father. And he says, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I have. And then do you remember what he said? After that, my Lord and my God. I've been looking at you all this time and I've never seen God, but he saw God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. If you displease God, it doesn't matter whom you please. If you please God, it doesn't matter whom you please. Did you get that? Follow it. Follow it. I'm just letting this up there. The way to please God is to believe God, and in order to believe God, you're going to have to understand what we're talking about when we talk about faith. I knock on the door. They open the door. I say, do you know that you have to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, or you're going to hell? They say, oh, we like to talk with you. No. We do not understand what we're talking about many times. If you're going to have faith, you have to have faith that you can explain. We're to give an answer to everybody that asks for the hope in us. It doesn't mean that they have to believe what we believe. But it does mean that I have to be able to explain why I believe what I believe. Does that mean that I have to know all the passages? No, but it does mean that I can find those passages. It means that I can say, you know what, I don't have them right here, but if you give me a Bible or a concordance, I can tell you in just a little bit where every one of them is found. I would recommend that you know where to find the passages. But before you do, now let me say this, and I want you to think about this. Before you do all that, learn the books of the Bible. That's a novel idea. Learn the books of the Bible. If this is where your life is going to be, we need to go through and learn the books of the Bible. You know, Matthew's just before Genesis. Christians were called believers before they were ever called Christians. In fact, it would be a debatable thing, but I believe that the name Christians was given out of they were against Christians. And if you remember, he says, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. So disciples and believers were first before Christians. That's where it all starts. No one has a right to call himself a Christian who is not a believer. And I want you to see that this is a work of God. People say, there's no works that's required. But I want to tell you, everything that God tells you to do, that is God's work, working in you. Do you get that? Whatever God tells you, that is God's work working in you if you obey it. In John 6:28 and 29, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Do we really believe in God? Do we believe when God says, this is my son? Do we believe whenever God says that you are to assemble? Do we believe that this is God whenever he tells us that we are to love one another? Do we really believe that this is God when he says that you're not to have any animosity against your brethren? Do we really believe that? Our chief duty is faith, and faith is the fountain out of which all other duty and all the other service grows. You can't get any further than having faith. I hear many people say, I have faith, and then they treat their wife like a dog. That means they don't really have faith. Isn't that true? So I want to talk about the nature of faith. Faith here may also be translated belief or trust. And basically it involves, first of all, an agreement. I've got to come to an agreement before I can really have faith. Now if you notice, this is very simple. I'm not trying to get complicated. You mentally agree that something is true. If somebody asks you, do you mean that you believe that you actually have to be baptized for the remission of your sins to reach the blood of Christ, and everybody else does not believe it, that you can stand there and say, yes, I believe that with all of my heart. Now that can be embarrassing sometimes whenever you win the wrong group. We love to have people agree. I love to come out and somebody said, that was a good sermon. I don't get that very often, but sometimes somebody says that. But even if you don't, if I preach the truth, whether it's simple or whether it's complicated, and I don't get very complicated, as they said in Arkansas, this woman told me, she said, I love your preaching because you're so simple-minded. In your heart, you say a heartfelt amen to what God has said. And that amen means, let it be so. I remember something. I think it was Brother Turner that was preaching. I can't even remember who it was. But as he was preaching, there was a fellow in the audience, and everything that the preacher would say, this fellow would say, amen, hallelujah. And it kind of rattled Brother Turner, and so he kept preaching, and pretty soon this guy said, amen, hallelujah. Over and over. Finally, an usher came by and said, you can't praise God here. Now we can overdo it and we can underdo it. You're persuaded, but that agreement is not yet faith. Just because you agree does not mean you have the faith that saves you. That agreement turns to an attitude. Have you ever noticed the attitude of some brethren? Bah, humbug. You want to shake hands? John mentioned it a while ago, and there's nobody there. There's an empty suit that you're shaking hands with. We ought to be excited about the Lord. You get an attitude about it. You know, I have learned even in this situation to love Don Lucas. Isn't that amazing? You know, it took me a long time to obey the gospel. It took Mary even longer. She was a hard nut to crack. But she finally obeyed the gospel. The attitude that comes out of that agreement is confidence and trust. If I can trust God with my life, if I can trust God with everything, if I can trust Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you, very honestly, when I studied the scripture, looking in the Old Testament, I was scared to death of God. Jesus introduces him in a way that I'd never seen. And I came to love God through Jesus. Now, before, I've been scared of God since I was a little kid. I told you that I went out and I learned to cuss one day, said a bad word, and because I'd heard my brother say a bad word, so I said a bad word, and then that night I was afraid the Holy Ghost was going to come and get me and take me away. He didn't, so I learned to cuss better, 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 better. You know, the same way that you learn to do these things, you learn as a Christian to practice righteousness. So this is not quite faith. It's very close now, and then you can act on it, and it becomes faith. Agreement plus attitude plus action is true Bible faith. Just get that in your mind. Get that in your mind. Write it down. And those of you that want this lesson, I will send it to you. As you study the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it tells what people did by faith. You know, it's easy to say, I have faith. I know a lot of people that say, I have faith. And the reason why they have faith is because they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't cuss, they don't chase women, they don't do any of that. And when you add it up, they've done nothing. What do you do? What do you do? Now, I'm not promoting those other things. I am just simply saying Christianity is doing something. You know, somebody said it takes a lot to love somebody. It takes a lot of work, and it does. It takes a lot of work loving people. It means you're going to have to do something. You remember the lady that washed Jesus' feet with that expensive oil, perfume? She didn't care what anybody thought. They all thought that was ridiculous. But love is that way. You're going to do something. I want to show you my love. Faith is belief, but it's more than belief. It's belief with legs on it. And when you have feet to your belief and legs to your belief, you have a real belief. That's real faith. I'm going to put my legs on it. I'm going to put my feet on it. I'm going to let it carry me through. Faith is something substantial that you can stand on. Faith is substance. Now, how do you get that? How do you really get that? To where I'm willing to give everything that I have to Jesus Christ. I mean everything that I have. My body becomes my way of worshiping as I offer it as a living sacrifice to God. So faith is not hocus pocus, willy-nilly, and there it goes. It's not smoke being blown at you. I'm just trying to put little things in your mind as we go here. Faith is seeing reality. Do you realize that's a real problem today? People do not live in reality. Reality is the way things really are. Jesus said, if you want to know what truth is, what reality is, look at me and I can show you what it is, I can tell you what it is, and I can show you that you are not living in the real reality. You're living in another world, and that world is about you. The word evidence here means conviction. Let me show you what I'm talking about. They get enough evidence against you in court. They come along and they say, Mason, we're going to try you. And we're going to give the evidence. What evidence do you have? I didn't do it. Well, there's a gun, and the gun has your fingerprints on it. And not only that, but there's a camera that shows a picture of you. And there's a witness that saw you run out, and there's a witness that saw you get in your car. And I say, well, I didn't do it. Well, there's enough evidence that we're going to convict you. What evidence do you have? Boom. Boom, boom, boom. So, if they get enough evidence, they get convict you, and faith is the conviction of things not seen. Have you ever studied with an atheist? How much evidence do they give you? They don't give you any evidence. Now, we say in this world, what you see is what you get. We say that seeing is believing, and God says what you get is what you don't see, and believing is seeing. Does that make sense? Hope it does. There is a seen world and an unseen world, and the unseen world is more real than the seen world. Do you pray? Do you really believe your prayers are going to God? Do you really come before God? Does your mind really get there? Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may receive help in the time of need. So here we are, and we're really going there. Nobody else can see it, but I know that I'm there, and I know I'm before the Father. I know before Jesus, and Jesus is going to take my prayer to the Father. I know that. How do I know? I'm standing upon my faith. In Colossians 1:16-17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions and principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him all things consist. I look out here and I notice that Tim is right there, and I believe that Tim is there. And there's evidence that Tim is there, and they say, what's the evidence? Well, I can see him. That's my evidence. But what about the invisible? Well, he says, that invisible is there. Can I know that it's there? Yes, I know it's there. How do I know it's there? Because God said it's there. That's how I know it's there. Do I have evidence that that's true? Yes, because I've saw God working. I have seen God working. I have to look at my wife to see which one I got right. I've seen God working all around me. I've seen him in people's lives. It's beyond belief, but I believe it. So faith sees even the invisible. In Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What was the things made of? Nothing. That's hard to accept. Atheism is harder. All things made from unseen things. You know, you can discover that if you tear a tree apart. This ex nihilo means it's made out of nothing. Let that sink in for you for just a minute. Everything is made out of nothing. It first started, and God had nothing, and a universe came into existence, man came into existence, everything came into existence from nothing. Which was first, the chicken or the egg? That's a hard one. Now, that requires faith. But it's not just blind faith. Blind faith is stupid faith. Evidence. So he says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're only going to last a little while, but the things which are not are eternal. So we're seeing things that can't be seen, and yet we see them. There's many invisible things around us. I want to just show you a few of them. Did you know that there is music all around us? Everywhere. Symphonies are being played. There's news that's all around us. How do we see and hear it? Well, one way is turn on the TV. And all of a sudden you see something that's around. Can you even imagine TV? Now, how they get a picture in live time into your living room. You can see it. I can remember listening to the first radio. Wow, that was something. Music coming over that, or announcements coming over that. You can't see those things, but all of a sudden they're made visible. We know they're out there. In Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Faith sees with the mind. You just have to picture it, and this is what we do when we study the Bible. We let that draw pictures for us that is planted in our mind, that we know that those pictures are right. Have you ever seen Jesus? And the answer is no and yes. No, I have not seen what he physically looked like. But like Thomas, I have finally seen God when I see Jesus. If I can get that, then truly I have seen God. In Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which seem not made of things which do appear. So those without faith cannot possibly understand. The only way to prove your faith, people say, can you prove that there is a God? And no, I cannot. But I can give you enough evidence to tell you why I believe that there is a God. If evidence is not accepted, there is no way to change somebody. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you realize who's getting blamed for all the problem that's going on in the world? Christians. They're the problem, according to everybody else. What have we done? Nothing but good. Don't look to science for your information, because science is, it can only study phenomena and processes that now exist. Something that they can weigh, something they can measure, something they can feel, something they can see. Now, I'm not against science, but I'll tell you something. A scientist does not delve into faith as a scientist. He can't. That's not what he studies. And yet everybody says, science. All people have some kind of faith. An atheist has faith that God does not exist. He believes that. How many people believe in reincarnation? Awful lot of them, right? I think India is pretty good close. UFOs. Now, there's some evidence that there may be UFOs, but there's not enough evidence that I can say I believe it. Definitely. Can't stand upon that. And what about Jim Jones? They had faith in him. Why can't we have faith in reality? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why is that? Because he's denying his senses, what he sees, what he hears, what he smells. He denies all that. I'm going to have to quit here in a minute. That person, the fool, is not mentally deficient. He is morally deficient. He just can't see it. Do you realize that there's something that all of you have thought about? I don't care who you are here. You have thought about death. You have thought about eternity. God put it in your heart to think about that. So you really need to think about it, don't you? You really need to think about it. One quick story here, and then we're going to wrap it up. A child was raised in an atheistic family, taught from childhood that there is no God. There is no God. One day, the little boy in that family looked into the face of his daddy and said, "Daddy, do you think God knows that we don't believe in him?" I think the child was a lot smarter, don't you? How does faith honor God? When you understand what faith is the response to the character of God. John's talking about the Ten Commandments. That's the character of God on display. When I really get those in my heart, we're on our way. That's the lesson. I want you to recognize that you can change if you're not a Christian today. You can become a believer and a walker, one that walks their faith. So we invite you to come, knowing that you need to believe in Christ, you need to believe in God, you need to repent of your sins, you need to confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins as you receive the blood of Christ. Won't you come?